Good morning, good afternoon. I would say good night, but that would mean that you wouldn't be listening. So, welcome to A Canty Conversation. I am your host, Declan Canty. And today I want to touch on a subject that is very relevant to me and a lot of us, I think, in our lives and careers, which is peer pressure. You know what I mean? It comes up in ways that we don't always understand. It comes up in ways that we're not aware of until we look back and say, hey, why did I do that? And then it dawns on you that it was because of peer pressure or societal pressures. I think they can sometimes go hand in hand. One of my first instances of peer pressure was tobacco, honestly. I did not, get into tobacco like legitly until I was peer pressured into it. Like the first time that I had a cigarette was when I was like 15, 16, and this was, I guess you can, like I said, you can also call it peer pressure, because I looked around, I thought it was something cool to do. And then I bought my first pack then, and I went to the local store, and I said, I had sent someone in for me to buy a pack of cigarettes. It was a very popular brand, so I was like, I just chose the first popular brand that I knew in my neighborhood, and I just went and got that. And I, got the pack of 20 of cigarettes or whatever, and I smoked them, and I smoked them, and I used to have to sneak out because I lived with a foster family at the time, and I had to sneak out and go into I would go in the backyard or in the alley or garages and things like that, and smoke that pack of 20. But that was the only time that I did it at that age, and I was like, okay. And after that, the next time that I smoked cigarettes, also under the same circumstances, I was employed at a place that was a highly stressful job. I was canvassing. I don't know if you know what that means, but I was like going around like trying to like ask people for money. It's hard enough when you're homeless. It's even harder when you're employed, right? So I was like a canvasser at a place called PIMPRG, which is Pennsylvania's Public Interest Research Group. And I would go around and we would do things on healthy child subsidies. So it was just like providing children in third world countries with the basic necessities in life, food, water, clothing, healthcare, and things like that. And that was something that the campaign focused on, that I was told that the campaign focused on. And while doing that, it was just like, people walk past you like you're nothing but a bush or a tree stem or like a traffic cone, right? So it was just like that. And then a lot of the ways that my coworkers dealt with that was, tobacco. They were like, oh, I'm going to go for a smoke really quickly, and I'm going to go smoke. And then I was like, okay. And that's what they kept doing. And me, before I really kind of got into it, it was just like, I didn't, I was just like, okay. And I'd be standing there and they'd go off and have a cigarette. So after that, I was just like, okay, so maybe that's something I can do to handle with the stress, right? So I was like, okay, so I'm going to start smoking cigarettes too. They would go on their breaks and smoke cigarettes. So I figured, hey, why not do the same thing? And that's what I went and did. And I went and started. But the first brand I smoked was, As you know, that popular Newport brand. And then I switched over to Marlboro after that. And I've been smoking ever since. But I feel like if I had like a way, like if vape pens or whatever it is, or those electronic humidifier like kind of style pens, like what is it? If they were out now, I would be like into it. Another thing I was peer pressured into was not being myself, which I talked about in the first episode of this podcast. That was another thing I was pressured into until I got over it, was just to like be like discreet or DL or whatever case may be. And that was another thing that I was pressured into, is just because I didn't know, like the people around me said, okay, even after coming out, which is what I didn't touch on. It was people was like, okay, we get it. Like in that understanding moment, we get it. And it was just like, even though we get it, we would hope that you would be like a little bit more discreet. And I was just like, nah, you know, and that only made me be like even outer and louder and prouder. You know what I mean? So that was that, which is what I did in that first episode. But staying on topic, another thing that I was super pressured into, I'd like to say, was listening to like different style of music. Like I said, also in the first episode, I grew up like doing like pop and rock music and things like that. And so I was influenced into listening to hip hop, which I'm thankful for now. So I was like, there's two sides to it, is what I want to point out, is what I guess what I'm saying is, that influence to hip hop was like something I'm thankful for, because I started rapping myself even and doing things like that, and making mixtapes and things and all, and all of that sort. So that was fun. But I would have never probably picked up hip hop music, because I just had an opinion of it being very, like, as I was growing up anyway, it was like very violent and very misogynistic, and it was something that I was just not like for. Not because of the music, but because of what the music was doing to the community around me, if that makes sense. You know, and I'd be honest when I say that. And so that was what was my hindrance of hip hop. After that, and I got into it, and I started making my own like trap music and like, you know, club bangers and things like that. And so that turned into like a positive outlook on life, because it was a way that I could release some of that stress. Another way that I was peer pressured was, let me think about that. I would probably say when I got like to be in my earlier like mid-20s, I kind of thought that it was important to be like a certain type of way, like, I don't know, like flaunting, like, I want to say, like, if that makes it, or arrogance or bougie, like, you know what I mean? Like, it was like, and this was a short-lived, you know, pressure to say the least, but it made me like, I felt like I should be like living in, like, for instance, San Francisco. It was like when I was around a lot of techies and things like that. I was pressured into thinking that I should be as arrogant as some of them were, you know, and are still, you know what I mean? And I felt like, you know, I didn't feel like, I never was in the type of person that felt like I was better than anybody, but being around people that felt like they were better than me just drove me to a point like, you're not that great, you know what I mean? So it kind of just was like, and it led me to be, you know, that arrogant or like cocky or whatever the case may be. And that wasn't who I was, and I felt icky kind of doing it, but it just kind of, it you know, it was just like, you're not, you know, it's not, you're like, you're not the end all be all of like life. And that's how some of them walk around with their Starbucks coffees and their briefcases, and it was just like, you know what I mean? But I was like, you know, if you walked in, my feeling was, if you could do that coming from my background or my past or wearing my shoes, like, and still do that, then I would show you some respect or have some respect for you. But being as though you're kind of spoon-fed into, like, that whole lifestyle that you have, I was just, you know, I'm not for it. Like, fuck out of it. Like, you know, I just... It wasn't for me for you to look down on me, knowing how much it takes for me to even, you know, walk the streets or be alive or have a positive outlook on life, knowing how much it takes for me to be able to do that, and then looking at you arrogantly doing it, even though you've not accomplished half of the, you know, it's just, and that's how I felt. So I was just like, I'm gonna be arrogant a little bit, and I was, and it just wasn't me, so I can't do that persona. But that's something that I was peer pressured into, and I just kind of regret that, because I feel like some people that I could have been closer to kind of have a different view of me because they met me during that personality, you know what I mean? So that that's how I felt. And so, yeah, so looking back is what I guess is what I want to have this conversation about peer pressure is us finding ways we could have circumvented being pressured into those things, or like bullying, for instance. Like, sometimes we don't realize we're being peer pressured into bullying someone when we're in a group of people. You know, it's easier for us to say, go along with and poke fun at the person that everyone else is. You know what I mean? And that, you know, it's called bullying, yes, but it's, if you're peer pressured into it, you and you know you are, because you have that inkling inside of you and that says, I shouldn't be doing this, but I'm afraid to go against the grain here and go against the wave here because everyone else is doing it. And I feel like if I don't do it too, they're going to pick on me. That's peer pressure, right? You're not necessarily a bully. I don't know if they have a word for it, but you know, you've been peer pressured into going along with the flow of that and you know, following that status quo, and that's what we often don't realize peer pressure being sometimes too, or societal pressures being, is that I'm afraid that if I don't participate in that, it'll be me. And I don't want to call that a bully. You know what I mean? I want to call that someone afraid, which is what it is. That's someone being afraid. I don't think that it's bully. There are people who have that bullying mentality, and that is what they'll do, is convince other people who they consider weak or, you know, not an individual thinker to be, and they'll prey on them to the point that they join what their movement is. And if that's bullying one person, that's what that'll be. And I don't want to, and I always take into consideration the fact that, okay, so maybe this person who isn't going to go defend the person being bullied like I would do in any given moment, isn't a bully, but I have a hard time not calling them that sometimes, because, you know, birds of a feather. But I just feel like I always take, that's something that I take into consideration, because you could have easily been the person that I came to rescue. You know what I mean? Like, so I don't want to call you that, even though it's just what you know to do. And it's hard for me to take to have that remorse and that sympathy sometimes, because I just feel like, I at my heart of hearts, I want to know that you know better, but in that same heart of heart, I know that you're not strong enough to do better. You know what I mean? And that's how I feel about that. Like, the pressure is always on you to be pleasing to someone, to be, you know, welcomed or feel welcome or accepted in a circle, in a group. And that's how they do it. That's how bullies do it. That's how society does it. And that's how you become peer pressured. They prey on the weak-minded to kind of be that. But if I don't stop having sympathy for that, then the cycle will continue. So my thing is, another thing that I want to get out in this conversation is to, you know, nothing can be changed unless you face it. And that's why that's one of my favorite quotes, is because it's so very, very, very true. You gotta stand up, you gotta rise up, or it's not gonna change. Like, each one teach one. Like, and I feel like if I don't say that honestly, I think you're weak. If you just keep going along with it, it's not gonna change. And if you wanted to change as badly as I do, then you'll stand up and you'll rise up and you'll rebel against your own cause. You know what I mean? I mean, something that you are a part of, you'll rebel against it in order to make the difference and be the change that you wanna see in the world, honestly. And that is something that I commend people for saying and doing. It's just not enough of us sometimes to take that stand, and stand up for what is right in the world. And that's due to peer pressure, and that's due to societal pressures. But until we are awake enough to realize what it is that we're falling into, and the patterns that exist, and the way, and the manipulation that exists, and the way that they manipulate you, you won't be able to, you know, defend yourself against it. It's kind of sad, but you have morality. You have the morals that you have, and you know what's right, what's wrong. It's an innate ability to have that, what's right from wrong. And so, even though I feel for a lot of people, sometimes I gotta be like, maybe if I stop having remorse or sympathy for people who know better but are not doing better, they might begin to do better. And that's, looking back, is something that I would have done, is have this conversation, because I was one of those people who felt like, this isn't right. And even when I stepped out to try and do right, they still, the wrong people tried to make me feel like what I was doing wasn't right, but I knew it and I stuck it out. And, you know, I don't have a lot in exchange for that, other than the fact that I know that I've changed the mindset, and sometimes changing the mind is more than enough to help change the situation in life or change the view. And after that, we began to look at who else can, you know, be helped, or, you know, who else can these facts that we have, and that we, these lessons that we've learned, is what I should say, who else with these lessons can we teach, even though we've learned from it, how can we else help someone else to learn from those lessons? You know what I mean? How can we help if we don't publicize the lessons that we've learned? How can anyone else learn from those lessons? Because they'll keep doing the same things, but if they don't learn from our teachings, and we can be literary about it, we can write about it, we can be vocal about it, we can speak about it, and unless we do that, then how can anyone else learn from what we have? And how can we help anyone else become the person that we'd like to be or like to see in the world? You know what I mean? And that is kind of what this conversation is about. So if you've ever been peer pressured into a situation, I'm not asking you to be ashamed of it. I'm not asking you to regret it. I'm asking you what could have happened differently? What could have changed that? And when you touch on that thing that could have changed that whole entire situation, I want you to be able to share that, or find a way to get your message out there and portray that message of what it is that helped you overcome, you know, that peer pressure, that aha moment. You know what I mean? That thing was like, if I had done this the first time that was offered to me, that would have been something that, you know, would have can help save the life of someone else. So that's why I touched on this subject. It's just like, think about peer pressure, think about what you've been peer pressured into, and then also think about how you could have prevented that. And that's our lessons for today. That's your homework from this Acanti conversation. You know what I mean? I love talking to you. I love catching up with you. So that's been Acanti conversation. Please tune in for the next one. Thank you for listening.